Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Six 12 now on this Tuesday morning, September 10th. If you're just joining us, Francine is not yet a hurricane, but expected to be. The latest overnight is that it is showing a little bit of sign of intensification, according to Peyton Malone and maybe of WWL Louisiana Forecast Center, and also maybe there's a little bit more of a formation of a storm after the winds kind of toured apart a little bit last night, maybe moving a little bit more east. Jacques Thibodeau joins us now, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, to tell you more about it than I could. How you doing, Jacques?
Hey, good morning. How are you today?
I'm all right. Just watching and waiting like everybody else. Tell me what the main concerns are for you for the state as the Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, from heretofore known as GOSEP.
The biggest concern that we're seeing right now is we're very concerned about the amount of storm surge that this storm is pushing. It's pushing anywhere at Vermilion Bay from 5 to 10 feet, and it varies around the state depending on whether you're on the east side or the west side. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be compounded with the fact that it's probably going to bring about 6 to 8 inches of rain over a 10 or 12 hour period. So the water, from our standpoint, is what we're worried about the most.
The hurricane hunters go in, get a new picture at 10 o'clock. How do you prepare at this point for a jog east, jog west, or does it, because there's so little time left, I guess, do you just prepare for the whole thing?
Well, and this is one of the things that we're kind of saddled with now with this rapid intensification. We've been tracking this storm now for 9 days, so we're prepared for wherever it's going to go, whether it's east or west. Unfortunately for us, it's right at Vermilion Bay, which right now is dead center of the state. So from our standpoint, what we're looking at is any victory that we can get is a good victory. Now, you talked just a little bit ago about the storms probably going to come at landfall as a Cat 2, which is what we're seeing also. One of the things that we're seeing is the fact that we anticipate the winds to be 100 miles an hour, and that was forecasted originally to be at 100 miles an hour Cat 2 tonight at around 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. That looks like it's now changed to about 10 a.m. So it pushed back the 100 mile an hour winds and is a little less intense. It's still a Category 2, and we want to remind everyone not to panic, but don't take this storm lightly.
Let's talk about the time frame, Jacques, if we can. Landfall is predicted as it stands now. When, or the worst of, when will what areas begin to feel effects, and what will those effects be? And give me a time frame on those.
Sure. And what it comes down to is what's called the H hour. It's when hurricane effects reach landfall. And we anticipate you're going to start to see tropical storm winds tomorrow, which is Wednesday, at around noon. And you'll start to see strong tropical storm winds probably around 3 p.m. And then what you're going to see after that is the hurricane force winds are going to start coming on land probably around 5 to 6 p.m. tomorrow.
And what areas would that be if it adheres to the current track that it's on?
Well, the worst place to be is in that northeast quadrant of the storm, because that's bringing the south wind and the storm surge. So as of right now, it's everything pretty much to the east of New Iberia is going to see the hardest effects. Now, it all depends on how far out the storm goes. The concern, again, on this one is that storm surge coming in Vermilion Bay and Barataria Bay and impacting all the area between the capital region of Baton Rouge all the way to the state line.
Let's talk about the when you say everything east of New Iberia, like what kind of size is the storm right now, or how far out are you expecting? Let's start with storm surge and coastal effects. As far east as what?
Sure. Okay, so what you're talking about is this storm is not a big storm. It's not a storm where it's the size of a Hurricane Katrina with that type of winds. You're looking at the hurricane force winds are only about 30 miles in depth as the crow flies. So that's a good thing. It's a dense storm. So if you're looking at in the Morgan City area, the Lafourche and Terrebonne Parish area, they're probably going to see the worst of that. When you're talking about St. Mary, Lafourche and Terrebonne are probably going to see the worst. And then you're going to see, as you get further to the east with Blackman, St. Charles, St. John, St. James, Orleans, Jefferson, it's not going to be as the winds will not be as intense.
What are you hearing from the National Hurricane Center or meteorologists about a jog further to the east, which, and the only reason I'm concerned, I'm not trying to say us against them, but just in terms of how many people live in different areas, Jacques?
Absolutely. Obviously, the biggest current concern for us is always where the population is. At this point, the prediction has been pretty solid, and the National Hurricane Center has been spot on. Every time that they predicted a jog, they've been right on the money. And at this point, I think that the error cone that they've got is pretty accurate. So I think if you can look at that and see where that error cone is, for the last 4 days, they've not missed it one time. So I do not think we're going to get a jog to the east based on what I'm seeing from the National Hurricane Center.
So when you look at areas like Port Fouchon, Lafourche Parish, Terrebonne Parish with Houma, St. Mary Parish, what kind of coastal effects are y'all anticipating?
Well, and that's the thing. When you're talking about this storm surge for our coastal parishes and you're talking about anything over 10 feet is catastrophic. So right now they're predicting 5 to 10 feet. The good news is if you look at the tides are actually going to be down about a foot and a half when the storm comes inland that night and that afternoon. So that's actually a good thing. So we're thinking that you'll see in Terrebonne Parish 6 to 8 feet of storm surge in Terrebonne Parish, and we think that you'll also see 6 to 8 inches of rain over that path that comes in from St. Mary and Terrebonne Parish and then moves directly diagonally north all the way to Jackson, Mississippi.
When it comes to evacuations, where do we stand, Jacques?
Well, the first thing I want to tell everyone is you've got to listen to your local officials, absolutely. And if you're not really sure what to do, and you don't know how to make a plan, you don't know what to do, we've got getagameplan.org, and there's also an app, Get a Game Plan, and it tells you how to make a plan. And I always stress to everyone, make sure you have an evacuation plan and make sure you have a shelter-in-place plan. So right now, the evacuations are all dependent upon the parish. We are seeing some parishes issue voluntary evacuations. We have not seen any mandatory evacuations yet. So the most significant thing is to listen to those parish officials.
What about the state of emergency? What does that mean and how does it help, Jacques?
Okay, so the first thing that it does, the state of emergency allows the governor and the state to expend resources, and it also helps those parishes and municipalities do the same thing. It turns on the resources. So the governor declared the state of emergency yesterday, and immediately after that, we requested a pre-landfall declaration from the president to turn on those federal resources to all the municipalities and the parishes. It is an administrative tool that allows us to basically suspend procurement and other items such as DOTD regulations on the road for the truckers. So it is an administrative tool, but really what it does is it turns on those resources.
What do you want people to know to take away with them? What do they need to do, Jacques?
The biggest thing that we always say is just to make sure you don't ever take a storm lightly. As I tell everyone when I do this, you can never win a battle against Mother Nature. The best you can do is fight to a draw. So we want everyone to not to panic, but we want you to make sure you're taking this storm seriously and make sure that you, your family, and your pets are safe.
Any final thoughts, sir?
No, thank you for what you're doing. You've got a good list of guests on the horizon this morning, and I think it's going to be a great show.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Jacques Thibodeau, the director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. 6:22, we do have a good lineup for you. We're going to give everybody in every area everything they need to know. We'll check in with the National Weather Service or a meteorologist when we come back. 6:22, traffic now, WWL.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.